Yeah, Greffy just sort of carried the last quarter with this single day stream, just inflating all the numbers. That'd be pretty interesting.
Jeff Bezos like giving Twitch more money to invest because he's seeing these crazy growth numbers, but it's literally down to one guy and his Fortnite skin.
Good morning, everybody. At least good morning from me. Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. Today is January 13th, and we have a lot to talk about this week. Pete is joining me from much later over in the UK. Pete, how's it going today, man?
Yeah, it's around midday when I record, so I get the better end of the deal. I don't have to get up first thing and jump straight onto a podcast. But yeah, pretty good. I think a really interesting 24 hours, I would say, in the Twitch world, certainly. It always feels amazing when we record a podcast right after like big news, because the worst case scenario is recording one and then big news happens in that 24 hours between recording and then releasing. So yeah, really excited to see and dive into some of the things that happened last night, really.
Yeah, which that always happens. You know, you feel like you get done a podcast and then some huge bombshell comes out. So luckily it's the opposite today. Last night, I'm sure most of you guys saw, if you follow Twitch at all, we had a new record set for maximum viewership on Twitch by a landslide. Like, it wasn't even close to the second person. So Fortnite streamer the Greff G, did I say that right? The Greg, maybe?
Yeah, I did a little bit of searching this morning because I knew we were going to be talking about it. So I watched like three of his YouTube videos hoping that at some point he would say his own name. And then I was like watching other Spanish creators that were interacting with him, and I was like, come on, does somebody say his name so I know I have to say it on the podcast? I've seen English people say the Greff G, and I think I've heard a Spanish person say the Greff. So okay. I think we go with the Greff G because I've seen other English creators and news outlets sort of use that, and I haven't heard any complaints, so let's go with that.
Yeah, that works for me. So the Greff G last night was streaming Fortnite for a special event, and he absolutely demolished the viewership record. Like I said, got more than 2 million concurrent people watching him. I think I saw 2.5 was the max, which is astronomical. And compared to some of the bigger streams we've seen in the past, you know, you think of the Ninja and Drake stream that came out a couple years ago. That was, I think, 650,000 viewers, which I had thought was the record. But we looked at some of the research from Stream Hatchet. They put out this really cool infographic, which hopefully you can find if you're watching or listening.
We'll link it.
Yep, we'll show it to you guys. The second closest was actually 1 million. So a lot of these other records were on YouTube, actually, for just live streaming records across the board. Those were for Laserbeam and Technoblade and a couple others that just got up to about 1 million. So this was more than double that with what happened last night, which is just crazy. And I actually told Pete, when I first saw this, I wasn't sure if it was authentic or if there was some botting or something, because it's just sort of hard to believe. It's the same way that when you first saw this happen with Ninja and Drake, it was hard to believe, but now it's 5 times that number. So I'm kind of blown away, Pete. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've summed it up nicely. Like, this isn't even close. The previous record, or so we thought, the previous record on Twitch was 650,000, which was the Ninja with Drake. It actually turns out, upon further research, that the Greff G actually did hold the previous Twitch record again for a Fortnite event at 700,000 viewers. But so roughly 700,000 viewers was the previous record. And now 2.47 million, I think, is what has been reported. So just shy of 2.5 million. Like, that is a crazy number of people watching live. And this is a Spanish stream. And again, we're seeing it being Fortnite. And when this was happening last night, I messaged Ben. Well, it was last night for me. It was probably in the day for you. But I messaged him saying 700,000 viewers and a link to this guy's stream. That's absolutely insane. So 700,000 viewers was what made me send the message, because I thought that was, you know, new record. And then to wake up this morning and see that the record was actually upped to 2.47 million. Like, I cannot fathom when that record will be broken. Like, in my head, that's going to stay for at least 2 or 3 years. But I probably thought the same back when Ninja did the stream with Drake at 650,000 views. But it's 2.47 million people watching live. Like, I can't fathom that number.
Yeah, especially when you compare it to, like, we talked about some of the big events last year. We had Shroud coming back and lots of hype around that. Doc Disrespect coming back. Those guys pulled big, very big audiences, but even they were only about 500K a piece. So just to think, again, 5 times that number was what happened last night for one single streamer is crazy. And I think it's kind of a testament to the rise. You know, we also talked about how non-English streams are exploding. And specifically, it looks like Spanish streams are exploding. We looked at some of the data last night. I was looking at where people are looking for Twitch on Google, and almost, I think, 4 out of the 5 top countries are all Spanish-speaking countries. So I guess that's no surprise that Twitch streams that have Spanish speakers are doing so well. And I'm guessing if this gets broken again, it's probably going to be from another Spanish speaker, unless that changes. But it's just cool to see a rise of different types of casters across the platform. And I might have to learn some Spanish pretty soon.
Yeah, I had the same conversation with the Nerd or Die guys last night. Like, do we need to work on our Spanish SEO? Like, we need to start ranking in this country. Spanish speaking, it's all over the world, isn't it? But I think what's worth concentrating on here is a bit about what the stream was. Because when Ninja set the record with Drake, that was just a normal Fortnite stream, but with a mainstream celebrity joining. So that was obviously creating a lot of buzz. And I think Drake tweeted out that he was streaming with Ninja. So like that brought a whole new audience that had probably never been to Twitch before into watching the stream. Last night's stream and a lot of the records that we found from that Stream Hatchet tweet have been set by major events in games like Fortnite or Minecraft or things like that. So last night's stream was the GrefG, or however you say his name, receiving his iconic Fortnite screen, Fortnite skin. So Fortnite has various different skins for different characters. I know that Ninja has one and some other popular streamers have their own skin in the game. And this was the release of his skin. So obviously he was going to be the streamer that benefited the most to this, but I'm sure even he couldn't have predicted the numbers that he ended up hitting. So when I tuned into the stream, it was sort of a 2-hour countdown to this skin being released in the game. And you know, he was like suited up, he's wearing like a red suit. We'll definitely link some of the articles as well as like the stream VOD or stream YouTube highlights in the podcast notes, so you can check it out. But like it's so entertaining to watch, even though I couldn't understand a word of what he was saying, but like he was getting so hyped. I saw him like break 1 million, break 1.5, break 2 million. Like he could not have predicted that this was going to be the way. But once again, we're seeing Fortnite put on the best virtual events. They do it when they release a new season. They're doing it now when they release a new skin. They've done virtual concerts. Like they have this hold on the YouTube and Twitch world, which just creates crazy, crazy numbers. And maybe I need to start watching more of it because they keep breaking records.
Yeah, I think Fortnite's really good at creating events too that are something you want to watch even if you don't play the game as much. So again, we've talked about we are not big Fortnite players, but this kind of thing, when there is some big icon release, you know, I didn't know this guy actually ahead of this happening, but like when Ninja skin came out and this series comes out, it's pretty cool to see who gets one of the skins, especially because it's in the Twitch scene, so it's just a natural connection, and YouTube as well. But also their seasonal events, like you said, those are tend to be really big names that come in there, like Travis Scott, or they do some other sort of crazy thing that we haven't seen before in gaming. So even though I don't play the game, I always watch those events, and I think they just kind of understand how to do that really well. So I hope they keep doing that. I want to see more of these streams come in here and more of these huge moments with people, even if they don't play the game, just connecting to these events. I think it's super cool. And like you said, I just don't really see any other game that can really compete at this level. Like we see some stuff from League of Legends with music videos and things like that, but nothing quite as just blowing over all over the culture and hitting these milestones like Fortnite is.
Yeah, I think even some of the tweets that I saw from last night, even the viewership records for major games like League of Legends Worlds, you know, the single streams for them on Twitch, even that was broken. So this isn't just like the single solo creator record, but it's also the biggest stream on Twitch. And I actually also saw it was the most concurrent viewers on Twitch as a platform. So over all the different streams that were happening, people watching, was a record broken as well last night, probably because of how many people were coming to watch this guy reveal his new skin. So absolutely insane. Like I said with the top 15, or like you said, there was a lot of creators in that list that aren't English speaking, and I think that's a real eye-opener for people from NA, from UK, or from English speaking countries, that there are huge creators and these areas on Twitch are obviously growing massively. Like we covered in detail the Dr. Disrespect going to YouTube earlier this year, and he's 15th on the list of biggest streams of all time at 500,000. And you know, we're now talking 2.5 million. Granted, that first stream, the 2.5 million, is over 2.5 times the next biggest, so it is an anomaly for now. But yeah, I don't know what it will possibly take for that record to be broken now.
Yeah, it's crazy too, because I mean, again, I feel like every time this happens, it feels, is this real? I mean, are these real numbers happening? Because I think I saw someone say that the viewership for the NBA finals was like 7 million or something insane. So to see that people are getting to 2.5 as a solo streamer on Twitch is just kind of mind-blowing. And it also makes you wonder how Twitch is going to have to change their ecosystem. I mean, you might have seen there was some downtime on Twitch yesterday, as well as I think the day before. And it's probably because of stuff like this happening, where you're seeing tons of explosions in markets outside the US and just so much server traffic. And then things even like, how do you manage a community of 2.5 people when they're watching 2.5 million people? How do you moderate that? How do you build tools that'll handle that for the server side? So it's interesting to see how they'll kind of deal with that, both on Twitch and YouTube and any other live streaming site. And I hope it continues, because these events are so cool to watch. And I think they sort of just prove how much potential these streaming platforms have. And everybody talks about them when they're happening.
Yeah, I think you've got to give credit there. Twitch has had some problems with their infrastructure. Seems like for the start of 2021, we reported last week, I think, that they had 3 days of issues. And then certainly this week, there's been a couple of days of issues as well. Thank God it didn't happen last night from the Gref Cheese point of view, because otherwise maybe he wouldn't have been able to break the record. But that's a crazy engineering problem to try and solve, like serving live video to 2.5 million people. Like, that is crazy. So hats off to the engineers at Twitch for obviously being able to support that, and hopefully they can get past all of these growing issues. It'll be interesting, I think, to see like the Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet Q1 reports when they come back, and see how much this day has sort of skewed the numbers, because it was such a crazy day. Like I said, the total viewers on Twitch record was broken. So I wonder how much we're going to see like a crazy spike in viewership on Twitch in Q1, and how that evens out with YouTube and things like that.
Yeah, Greffy just sort of carried the last quarter with this single day stream, just inflating all the numbers. That'd be pretty interesting.
Jeff Bezos like giving Twitch more money to invest because they're seeing these crazy growth numbers, but it's really literally down to one guy and his Fortnite skin.
Yeah, they're gonna probably sign him pretty soon just to make sure he stays and keeps doing that. Anyway, that was really cool, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about that. Again, hopefully we see more records broken. Maybe Fortnite adds more icon series types of skins and things like that on YouTube, even would be pretty cool to see. We did have a couple other pieces to talk about. So one thing I was just sort of interesting that I saw is Shroud actually got an interesting message. He was trying to raid a smaller streamer and was told he had too many viewers. So speaking of having server issues with a lot of people watching you, this is just the first time I had seen this. He was blocked from raiding another channel because I guess the raid system on Twitch is not built to support certain types of raids when you have too many viewers, or maybe like in non-partner channels or something, they can't handle that, which is kind of interesting. So I just want to mention that because I don't think it was really Twitch. People kind of frame this as Twitch is blocking Shroud from supporting small creators. Like, they don't want to support small. I don't think that's the case. I think it's actually just a server thing, but it was just interesting. I'd never seen this message before. Had you?
Yeah. When you first pasted this into like the sheet that we keep all the weekly news in that we might want to talk about, I thought it was just Shroud openly saying, I don't want to host smaller viewers because they, like, you know, they could say anything and it's on my brand or anything like that. But it was actually legitimate. Like, he got an error message effectively saying that he had too many viewers to support a raid to that stream right now. So it makes me think from like the engineering point of view, like there must be some thresholds that people hit in terms of they do something different with the stream. Like, I know that you have like the affiliate partner thresholds, and you know, you get transcoding if you're in the top certain percentage of streamers on Twitch, but this is a whole different kind of threshold where apparently you need to be somewhere in the viewership range to be able to get a big host or a big raid. So I don't know if this is an issue that's going to be fixed or if it's something that we just need to be educated on, but yeah, it's probably, I hate the notion of small streamers thinking they just need to get lucky with a big host, because rarely does that convert into long-time viewership. But yeah, maybe this is something that Twitch do need to fix or at least educate us on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably because it's such a niche case that you have a raid for 50,000 people going out somewhere. So I haven't seen many myself. That's probably just trying to funnel people that way. There's some issues going on there. But just interesting, I thought that we saw that happen. There was also something interesting I wanted to cover is, so we talked a little bit about all the Capitol Hill stuff, but we also talked about Hassan last year, just setting these huge records around political streams. That's kind of when he peaks as a streamer and is typically the biggest streamer on the platform when something's happening political. His stream actually was seemingly shut off a couple times. So what happened is he was streaming for, I think, his max viewership he's ever had. Quite a few people watching him, and his stream key reset. So that's the kind of thing that doesn't just happen when you're streaming, seemingly for no reason, that your stream key will change. So his thought was that someone was doing that to him, like some rogue Twitch employee was resetting his stream key during his stream because of his opinions or something. And so I don't want to get like too political with this, but it's just interesting to hear that maybe Twitch is doing this internally. I don't know. What do you think, Pete? Do you think this is something that they're doing intentionally, or do you think it's just a server issue of some kind?
Yeah, I think it goes heavily in the like the rumor mill for me. It's difficult to be able to pinpoint exactly what's happened, because obviously if that is legitimate and his stream key is resetting, I feel like that's incredibly unlikely to have just happened by coincidence when he's doing a political stream. When the opinions in the US are so divided at the moment. So in that side of things, it links heavily to either somebody has access to his account or it's somebody that's working at Twitch that is doing it. But at the same time, like I can't imagine that general Twitch employees have access to be able to do that kind of thing. Like from an engineering point of view, that would usually be locked away, and maybe like support staff or something could help with. So yeah, it's difficult to know exactly, but I do think it's a really interesting point that Hassan definitely breaks records for his own stream when he's talking about these political kind of things. And you know, we're talking in a world now where platforms are being shut down before they even develop because of people moving to those platforms to speak their beliefs on their political agenda. So it's going to be a problem that keeps coming up more and more, I think. And you know, you've got to be careful with what's happening. I hope there's an investigation going on, but you know, maybe it was literally just a technical bug, but I find that kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, Twitch has had its fair share of technical bugs that we talked about over the past couple of weeks, so it could be something just going wrong there. I don't know enough about streaming technology and networking to know where like the source of this would come from, but I don't know. I feel it's the kind of thing that's very hard to track. So it could just be one employee who has access to that, to resetting stream keys, maybe a partner manager or something. I don't know, but just sort of interesting, and I wanted to mention it in case we see more of this happening, just to sort of keep tabs on it, because I'm curious to see.
What actually happens when somebody resets your stream key whilst you're streaming? Does it kick you offline?
Yep, that's what happened, is he got kicked offline midstream, I think twice, like during his all-time peaks, because his stream key had been reset somehow. So, and he wasn't the one doing it. So clearly it had to be someone either in Twitch or maybe some rogue moderator, but it didn't seem like it was his mod team or something. I don't think they even have access maybe to do that as mods. So
no, you wouldn't. I don't think as mods you'd have access, but this is probably a good little segue to tell everybody to turn on two-factor authentication on Twitch. I think Twitch recently added like good two-factor authentication, not just getting a text message to your mobile phone number, but actually like you can use the Google Authy app, I think it's called, or Authenticator app. So proper two-factor authentication. And actually something that we didn't write down here, but I tweeted out earlier this week, was the raid bots. Did you manage to catch that?
Yeah, I saw your tweet about this. It just seemed like it was a ton of channels raiding in mass on Twitch.
Yeah, so effectively, I was seeing some people talk about this in the Discord server, and one of my moderators pointed me to it, but it's definitely some kind of bug, or like not a bug, but a way around a restriction, because I know that Twitch implemented a restriction of only being able to like host three different channels per 24 hours or something like that. This is effectively some rogue bots that were hosting probably 10 channels per second with like 300 or 400 viewers on them. So people were getting notifications, even if they weren't live, that they were getting hosted for 400 viewers, and they were thinking, oh my god, I'm getting hosted for 400 viewers by this name I don't recognize, I'm going to jump on and see what's happening. And then they go to that person's channel and they just see the tweet that I posted out was a video showing how quickly the bot was hosting a new channel. And the amount of responses that I got on Twitter and Instagram of people saying, this happened to me last night, this happened to me just an hour ago, this happened to me with a different name. And it was like pretty much everybody that streams on Twitch in the past year seemed to have had a notification that they had been hosted by one of these accounts. It seems to have slowed down. I haven't seen anything about it since I posted the tweet, so maybe Twitch got on top of it or just banned the accounts. But yeah, it was an interesting 24 hours. But the real takeaway I had from that was, you know, make sure you enable two-factor authentication. You don't want this happening like from one of your accounts and then you get banned forever. So yeah, a good little segue and something that I remembered that we hadn't talked about yet.
Yeah, that's a good one. I personally wasn't affected by this, but I did see people having this happen. I didn't realize it was for hundreds of viewers when you're getting hosted. That's kind of interesting. And I wonder how they did that. I guess it's no surprise that Twitch is having so many server issues with all this stuff happening with raids in mass and viewership records and people coming from all countries and everything like that. So I guess that does make sense.
An interesting link that I've just thought about, though. I wonder if the Shroud thing was an implementation from that those bots raiding people. Because they were raiding all these accounts with 300 viewers. And all the accounts that I saw that people were being raided to were, you know, small affiliate accounts. So I wonder if that was some kind of restriction that they just quickly band-aided on to hopefully prevent that from happening, or if it's just completely two separate issues. I'll have to look at the dates that they happened in case they overlapped at all.
Yeah, it does seem like they're very close dates. I guess it could be just to have some emergency band-aid, like you said, to stop that from happening. But obviously, that's not what we're going to have for long term in case you want to have some bigger raids to support smart creators. I just kind of wonder if it was maybe a new record for a raid. I doubt it, but I don't know. Maybe it was just so big that Twitch had never had a raid that big before and wasn't built to support it. But clearly, I'm glad they got it fixed, because like you said, I have not seen this come out in the last couple of days of more raids happening and it's still being a problem. So I'm glad that's gone. Hopefully they can get care. They can take care of the chat bots now that spam the "Do you want to be famous" and all that stuff that I see in every channel every day, because those are still happening, still going on. So, so speaking of a little bit political stuff, we have to get a little bit here with the other big piece of news this week, which is PogChamp, or not very PogChamp in this case. Twitch removed the classic PogChamp emote, which I think it was the fourth or third most used emote on Twitch, and obviously one of the best known just in culture with the whole Pog memes. They removed that because the face of the PogChamp, the guy who, I forget his name, Butex or something?
Gutex, yeah.
That's right. He had said some things during all the Capitol Hill riots about inciting violence, and Twitch basically just didn't want to be associated with that and have him as representative during all that controversy, so they removed him. And in the wake of that, they have decided to replace the PogChamp emote with one of their creators basically doing the PogChamp face every 24 hours. And they've done, I think, three or four now since this came out. So let's talk about that piece first, because there's more to go off of it. But obviously, that was kind of shocking for a lot of people to see, because it's such a classic and such a used emote, and so many variants of the emote too. So it's pretty interesting, Pete. What did you think?
Yeah, it's one of those things where Twitch, you know, it was a difficult decision that they had to make. And from a personal point of view, I think maybe they probably made the right decision. Nobody is using the PogChamp emote and thinking about the original person's face. Like, it's become so separated from that now. Like, you could ask a random viewer who it is, and I reckon less than 1% of people would know who Gutex was. But the PogChamp emote, like you said, is the fourth or fifth most used emote on Twitch. So it gets spammed in all kinds of different channels, and kind of became synonymous with like an awesome moment happening, or like somebody doing something really clutch in a game. So yeah, it's a big move for Twitch to remove it, since it was so widely used, but I kind of understand their reasoning behind it. And I really like what they have done since, which was a suggestion, I think, by Day9, who's StarCraft commentator, really famous back in the day and still has a very large following, who suggested, why don't we replace the original PogChamp with individual creators' versions of PogChamp, because a lot of people will have their own Pog emote in their own chat with their own face, making a similar sort of, oh my god, look what's happening face. So Twitch was going to rotate that every 24 hours to a new creator. I don't know how long that's going to happen for, if it's going to be indefinite. Surely they'll eventually run out, but probably not with the amount of people they're streaming on Twitch now. But already, I mean, literally 3 days after they started doing this, they've already run into issues.
Yeah, unfortunately. So for those of you who might not have seen it, yesterday they replaced the PogChamp emote with one of the new creators. I forget his name, but just to leave him targeting out of this. He had said some things, and people dug up some clips of him saying stuff on stream that was politically charged, to say it easily. Just basically the same kind of issues that the original PogChamp had. This guy was maybe making things in the other direction, saying things like white lives don't matter and just very controversial things. So we've now had two cases in the past week of this emote of someone being associated with some political views, and those are problematic, and now it's causing controversy. I don't know if they actually removed the new PogChamp from Twitch after this happened, but basically, I think it opens a bigger discussion on just using faces in general, because emotes, which is kind of interesting, are representatives of the platform to a sense, especially when they're global emotes used by the entire platform. So think of any other classic emotes, the kind same kind of thing where if this person's face becomes the person that has some sort of political issue or does something awful or whatever else, then Twitch is tied to that person in a sense, and it's part of their brand. So I kind of want to ask, maybe have a discussion today too of like, where do we see the future of emotes going? Because I wonder if maybe we'll move away from actual people's faces or have some sort of future-proof system so that this doesn't keep happening, because I think it could happen with any other emote. So I don't know, Pete, what did you think about seeing all this?
Yeah, I mean, I actually shared like in my friend's Discord when this news came out. I was like, how long is it going to be before one of the new PogChamps, somebody goes through their old tweets and finds something like racist or just as bad as what Gutex had said? And it was literally 3 days. So it didn't take long at all. And that's probably the case. Like, is somebody's full-time job going to be going through their next PogChamp emotes tweets history, trying to find if there's anything controversial to make sure they can use it? Like, it's a full-time job for somebody if that's the case, and they need to do it every 24 hours. So maybe the better move here is for them just to design a new PogChamp emote which doesn't have anybody's face and it's just a hand-drawn character or something. It's difficult because whatever Twitch do, they're probably going to get flack for it now. But it seems like there's going to be too much controversy with any of the new PogChamp emotes being made. And kind of what's happening, you know, from a nice point of view, what's happening is when a new PogChamp goes out, loads of people go to that person's channel because like they have something to celebrate. Like, I'm the face of PogChamp on Twitch today. But unfortunately, what happened yesterday was these historic tweets were found, and then it kind of took over the whole discussion of this guy's stream. So he says even more controversial stuff, and it's like this is not what Twitch wanted to create from this situation where they're trying to do a good thing, and it's turned into this like spiraling horrible thing where they don't want any eyes from news outlets looking at, you know, this person's PogChamp channel because it's a political discussion now.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit, I don't think we should be up in arms at Twitch about this, because I think they're doing the right thing by trying to put good faith out there and change the emotes. And they, again, originally it was a community suggestion, so they're trying to play with the community, and I think that's a great idea. Plus, it was only 24 hours, so, I mean, it's different than having this other person who's been on there for years representing the emote versus just someone who's a flash in the pan. So that piece is good. But I think it's interesting, again, to think about how emotes might change in the future, because what's interesting about Gutex, for example, is he originally was part of Twitch, I believe, but he was not really like a active creator or even like in the gaming space, and yet he still, his face had issues, and that caused issues on Twitch. So I think it really could happen to any other emote potentially. If something were to come out, or maybe even it was used in some bad way for some sect groups or something. So I wonder if maybe we'll move to animated faces in general, or just like characters. One thing I saw people say originally when PogChamp got removed was that we should replace it with Wreckful, like kind of in his honor. And then that was kind of a cool idea, but then people also said, well, that could be interpreted badly because then it might be used for suicide and things like that, and used too jokingly. So there's a lot of issues to think that when you're looking for emotes, even it seems like such a simple thing, like an emote, but there's so much to consider when you're doing that, as we've seen in the past week. So I kind of think we'll see a move towards more characters or just people, non-people emotes sort of, that are more stylized and have just less brand risk, because I'm sure as Amazon is in control of Twitch now, they don't want to have that keep happening. I don't know. We'll see. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, this reminded me actually that it's not the first time that we've seen Twitch ban an emote based on the person in the picture. I think maybe 6-9 months ago, certainly at some point in 2020 or maybe very late 2019, they banned the Bless RNG emote. I don't know if you remember that one. It was sort of a long-haired guy with like the praying hands. Turns out that he I think he admitted to some domestic abuse or something to an ex-girlfriend, and then Twitch decided to remove it. And I think he was probably, I think he was like working for a company that was related to Twitch in some ways, and he got let go as well. But it's not the first time we've seen it. And like you said, whenever it's somebody's face, it's going to have some representation from that person. So they might have to keep removing these faces of Twitch. But it's a shame because it's kind of what makes it unique. We've talked before about how YouTube doesn't have the emote side of things as nailed down as Twitch, and I'd hate nothing more for it to become like the emojis from like your iPhone or Android, and that's the only emotes that we can use on Twitch, just because they're cartoon characters rather than real people, because the real people does add an element to it. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but certainly in today's world, whenever something like that gets highlighted, I think Twitch has to respond in some way, and I think they probably have responded in the best way that they could.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because I think they're trying to do the right thing by making these rotate, and you're going to have this issue with anything. I think even, you know, Pepe is so common on Twitch, but that has caused issues in some cases in the past with certain groups using it. So I think even characters aren't safe from this completely, besides using, like you said, the emojis straight off your phone. I haven't seen too many issues there, I guess. I don't know. We'll kind of see what happens. I feel like this is maybe going to burn Twitch a little bit, and they might preemptively start changing emotes to not only protect themselves from stuff like this in the future, but also maybe just more align with the brand instead of these faces. So we'll see. I think that we'll see some changes over the next year as that continues to happen. That was a lot of the biggest stuff this week. There was also a couple things around content creators using certain games on stream. So I know that you saw the Capcom made a content policy update. Do you want to talk about that really quickly?
Yeah, actually, I think this was someone from my community that helps with it. But written down here that there are some issues with the content policy for all of its titles. So some examples they've put through is the Jackbox TV games, which are like the party games that you have and a lot of people play on stream, have updated their terms forbidding brand deal streams from playing their game. So streamers that have a brand deal on that stream from playing Jackbox games. Now, it's just an updated term, so whether this would ever actually get enforced is a whole different question, really, but certainly interesting, and it's something that we covered. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, but like you say, when you're streaming for work on the Lenovo Legion channel, you don't want adverts for Razer or these other companies that make computers coming up before your live streams, and there's no way to control that right now. And this is kind of I guess a little bit of insight from a developer's point of view as to what they deem allowed and not allowed for their streams.
Yeah, I think so. I looked at the Jackbox piece in particular, and like you said, they made a couple updates specifically around using the game when you're doing an ad deal is what they had forbidden. But then also, it looks like they had made some changes to block modes where you're doing things like you have to be a sub or pay of some kind to be part of the game is what they're blocking. I think we've seen some games do this in the past, but just kind of interesting to see some of the games do this. I think it makes sense from the ad deal perspective because you're essentially using your game to promote this other brand, which I think games have always had the right to do. But like we talked about, a lot of times the developers kind of want to support Twitch and YouTube as a whole. And so they don't do this kind of thing, but they kind of always had the right to. So I understand why Jackbox is doing this to a degree. I don't think that we'll see a lot of other game companies do this, but maybe if we see bad ad deals or, I mean, maybe if companies want to get more out of those ad deals and have some sort of cut from those, we could see this happen more. I don't think that'll happen personally, but you never know with the next year. But just interesting to see more of these companies kind of getting stricter on their content. And I think probably just preemptively preventing themselves and creating a policy that they can take down stuff if they need to in the future.
Yeah, I think it's like you said, it's updating their policies for 2020, 2021, this like new year where streamers do hold so much value and there needs to be a bit of protection. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see game studios start to put in a lot about DMCA and like what music you can and can't stream, what is deemed okay to do for content versus, you know, breaking the game or hacking in a game. We've seen a lot of like Valve banning people from live streams where they've shown that they're using hacks. Like this whole world of live production of your content is definitely making a lot of publishers, I think, re-evaluate what their terms are and what they allow people to do, as well as how they market their game. We talked last week about the success of Among Us and Fall Guys and games like that that really seem to have been designed from the ground up to to be streamed on Twitch. And so it doesn't surprise me that this is coming from the content policy side as well.
Yeah, I think we just talked about all the issues with, you know, political issues coming in and extreme stuff like that. So I think it's, again, just more ways to protect themselves going forward. I think those were most of the big hits I saw this week. The one thing I did want to mention is CES is happening right now. So I know that there are there's a keynote from AMD happening today, as well as a NVIDIA announcement. So I think we might have some news in the next couple of weeks about those two companies and if some of the stuff impacts any of the gaming scenes. So we'll keep an eye on that. I haven't really seen much come out yet besides, selfishly, I'm kind of loving the Lenovo AR glasses that we came out with. Have you seen anything from CES yet, Pete?
No, actually, I haven't followed it very closely this year. I was very close to going last year, actually, to the event. It's probably a good job I didn't, seeing as COVID was probably secretly kicking off all around the world in January. But yeah, I haven't really followed it too closely this year. I wonder how much of an impact COVID will have had on a lot of the companies and what products they can managed to release, but it's usually just a good rumor mill of what's coming in the next year. You know, it's not necessarily products that are going to be live now, but like things that are going to come out. You know, Elgato last year, they teased the Wave microphones, and I think they came out 3 or 4 months after that. So hopefully we do see some cool stuff. Like you said, Nvidia probably not announcing anything new because they had a big announcement for their 3000 series GPUs, but you never know. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Yep, I know that Legion will have some things coming out, so I'm sure that the hardware pieces will have some stuff to announce too. But yeah, hopefully we'll get some rumors of things at the very least of stuff to come later this year, which is always exciting for stream tech and that kind of stuff. But I think that mostly does it for this week. Pete, is there anything else you want to mention before we kind of wrap up this week?
No, I think that probably sums up a record-breaking week. I guess for people that want to learn a little bit more, I'd definitely check out some of the links to the Stream Hatchet tweet that we'll share in the description below, where you can sort of see the records that have been broken in terms of concurrent peak viewership for streams. But yeah, I wonder when the next podcast we'll do, where we'll be talking about somebody beating the 2.5 million concurrent viewers. I certainly don't think that's happening this year, but you know, stranger things have happened. You never know.
Yeah, I think it could happen in 2021. I mean, especially with the quarantine stuff probably lasting the first half a year, as the vaccine's still going out, people are still watching a lot of Twitch. Clearly, in Spanish-speaking countries, Twitch is still exploding, again, at an all-time high. So I think it could happen, and we'll see if maybe Fortnite can kind of ramp that success and make more of this happen. I want to see more of it personally. The more records we can break and the more we can compete with NBA broadcasts and things like that, I think the core it is for the whole live stream space. So I'm excited. But yeah, thank you guys for watching. I appreciate it. And we will see you next week for hopefully more awesome streaming news on both Twitch and YouTube. So thank you guys.
Peace.